Welcome to another episode of the Photo Facts Podcast. I'm Jim Felder.
I'm Robert Trawick.
How are you doing, Robert?
Wait, did you just wake up?
I feel like I have never woke up yet. It seems like I'm in a dream or something, you know?
In a dream?
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
To week 42 of the coronavirus epidemic.
Week 42.
Well, I don't know what to say. I don't think either. We're just in like week three, but dude, it's like crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's but fortunately, I am able to go out and do some shoots for real estate, so that's been helpful.
That's funny you mentioned that. I actually did a commercial shoot yesterday, and that was essential because it was commercial. And then I did a house shoot today, and so it was nice to get a little bit of that pocket change coming. But obviously, it is not the wealth of income that we normally have.
You are correct. You are definitely correct on that.
So, talking about that, I was watching the news before we kicked this off, and I guess the government ran out of money for the payroll protection program.
Yes, they did, and I lost out on that. I also lost out, or seem to have lost out, on the stimulus check too. So,
oh, you didn't get the stimulus check?
No, he don't. You want to know why? Because, yes. Because I normally have to pay them, so I don't have any bank information on file. So I have to try to go in there and enter my information, but they can't seem to match up. I've tried a couple different things, because here's the issue. My CPA accidentally used a different address to where I was working part-time, and that's address that's on the file. But I have since got a hold of them and talked to a human, and he corrected my address. But they're saying if you haven't filed your 2019 taxes, you have to they'll use your 2018 tax return, which is the old address. Yes. Yeah, so I'm trying both, but it doesn't do any good. So I've given up on that. But I have not given up on the PPP because my bank called me today and said, let's go ahead and do this just in case Congress decides to go another round. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, I saw that on the news. They're talking about doing another round. I guess it's going back and forth between the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
And they're redoing to see how much money is going to be so you definitely have that in there.
Yeah.
I'm waiting as well, so okay. We're in the same boat.
So, welcome to another episode of the editorial topic.
Yes, so we're continuing on. This is April still.
Yeah, April, and we just happen to have another editorial photographer on the line on Skype right now. His name is Mr. Don Reese.
Yes, welcome, Don.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing great. I'm so glad you were able to make it with us. I guess you didn't have anything else going on, did you?
No. I was telling Jim a little earlier that I'm on the top of the list. You know, if you can have something that's going to make this virus worse, I've got it. I'm old. I'm overweight. I got high blood pressure. The list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And so if I catch this thing, I'm toast.
Yeah, but I figured that since you were good looking and had a beard, that would be like it would reject it.
That beard's the only thing that's saving me so far.
I'm dead then.
You know, now speaking of the beard, let's talk of something serious about this whole epidemic going on. So obviously you've left the house before, right, Don?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you leave the house, do you have a face mask that like encompasses the beard, or do you just wear it over your mouth?
I have one that covers up the whole thing, but I stay in the truck. You know, it's like going to the grocery store. My better half goes in the grocery store.
Oh, you're a smart man.
I hear that a lot.
She's a good girl, I want to tell you. You know, it's like when we do takeout, I drive, she goes in to get it.
Is she sitting in the room, Don?
No.
Oh, okay.
I feel your pain. I look at my wife and say, look, you're a little younger than I am, so you stand a better chance if you get something. So you go in that store and get me some groceries.
Well, it was her idea, you know. It was her idea. And she is in much better health than I am, for sure. She's, and again, like with you, Robert, she's several years younger than I am. But it's just the way it all worked out. So I pretty much stay in the truck. Although, I got to tell you, dying over here. I got cabin fever so stinking bad it's not funny, and going out in the backyard to shoot birds isn't cutting it.
Oh my God, I bet. Have you gone downtown at night and shot some of the nightscape or anything?
No.
You can shoot it from your truck. Roll your
window. Oh yeah, I bet.
Just do a drive through, but I'm surprised on how many teenagers are out driving around at 11 o'clock at night downtown.
I'm not.
Like, I really thought that I could sit in the middle of the road on Broadway and shoot, like, a long shot, you know, compress it with a long lens. No, yeah. You cannot. There's cars going up and down. It's nuts. Yeah. I'm really concerned that we're not going to open the state up at the end of the month.
You know.
Go ahead. Spit it out. Don't hold back.
If we don't, we're going to have a real problem, you know. I mean, we got a problem now, but the longer we keep it shut down, the worse it's going to get. And I've read several things, not just one or two, and I don't mean just from people. I mean, these are high-powered medical people who really know what they're talking about. And the things that I'm reading all say the same thing. We need a vaccine, but we also need herd immunity.
What's that?
We need to get
what now?
Herd, what they call herd immunity. That's where everybody kind of gets a little piece, and it builds up your own immunity to it. It's like one of the reasons we don't all, like, have you ever known somebody who never seems to get sick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yes.
It's because he has, or she, has got immunities built up against all of that stuff. So you go out someplace, you get a case of the flu, and you go visit them, and they're fine. They never get nothing.
Right. Well,
immunity built up to it.
You know, that's probably because they didn't have parents that put shelters over them, bubbles over them, and kept them from everything, you know?
Right.
And I knock on wood, I get sick sometimes, but only time I get sick is when I have allergies and it turns into a sinus infection. And I have had a few, you know, stomach viruses and stuff like that, but you know, I feel like I'm pretty good most of the time.
Yeah. I'm fortunate that way myself. I very seldom get sick, but I know people who are sick at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
And that's what it's got to do with. It's got to do with that herd immunity thing.
Yeah.
That would be me. When I get sick, I get sick quick and hard. Like, it literally can take me out in 6 hours. I can come home from an all day shoot, being out in the wind, feeling fine, lay down, wake up 6 hours later, and I can't breathe. My nose is congested. Yep. My ears are plugged. My chest is like full of junk. And then I'm down for like 4 days. It's crazy how quick I get sick.
You should get some allergy shots.
No, I think what we're going to do, now that we know that you're immune, Jim, I'm going to hold you down, do a blood transfusion. I'm thinking that's how I'm going to get my herd stuff.
Okay.
Well, but then if I did that, I would be really afraid to go through my favorite drive through and ask for a Big Mick versus a Big Mac.
Don't get me started.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump on in the episode, Don. So you do editorial photography. Get started with this John photography.
I'm a contributing photographer to 405 magazine, and its sister publication, 405 Home. And I've been doing that now for about 3 years. It seems that they had somebody quit, and they were looking for somebody, and, you know, the friend of a 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 friend kind of thing. And the next thing I know, I see the hit counter on my website going up. And then I get a phone call and an email from them, and they say, send us your rates and your terms. And so I did. And next thing I know, I'm getting another email going, hey, can you meet us at such and such a place? We got to shoot. Great. Here we go. And that was 3 years ago. 3 years ago this month, as a matter of fact, almost to the day. The very first thing I shot for them, I was telling Jim a minute ago, since both of you guys do real estate, I shoot the vast majority of the houses and stuff for 405 Magazine. They have a house in virtually every issue. And then twice a year when they do 405 Home, they usually have two houses in that. And so there's about 14 houses per year. And over the past 3 years, I've shot all but about three.
That's cool.
Now you're talking about 405 Magazine or the 405 Homes? Because I've seen the 405 Homes. That's just all like interior stuff.
Right. They're both the same company. It's both the same publication.
Okay.
405 Home only comes out twice a year. Comes out in April and October. It does have a different editor-in-chief than 405 Magazine. But they're connected. They're owned by the same company, same writers, the same photographers, the same art directors, and so on and so forth. So I shoot for both of them. And I shoot whatever they want me to shoot. But like I said, I shoot 99% of their houses, you know, for both magazines.
Are those magazines paid subscriptions?
They're both. They're paid subscriptions, and you can get them for free. There's a whole bunch of places around town. I know if you go in the Harvey Avenue entrance to the ONG building, the one right there on the corner, there's usually a magazine rack inside the sliding glass doors that's got 405 Magazine in it.
So if you want it mailed to you, you have to pay for it, right?
I mean, yeah, mail to you, you got to subscribe, yeah.
Right, okay.
Right, but I think they're going to have a digital edition as well.
A what?
A digital edition?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, I think that's a free one, though, isn't it?
The digital edition is free. You can get it anytime you want. It's through a company called Issue, ISSUU.com.
Yeah, I've used that.
It comes under Slice, because 405 Magazine used to be Slice Magazine.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I remember Slice Magazine. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And before that, it was like five separate metropolitan area magazines. There was one in Edmond. There was one in Nichols Hills. There was one in Norman. There was yada, 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 yada. And they all got put together as one magazine. That was Slice. And then they changed Slice to 405. So, yeah, I could send you guys a link to where you could.
Shoot us a link. We'll put that in the show notes.
Okay, I'll do that. I've got the April issue. I think I have one ad in the April issue of 405 Magazine. Once in a while, they'll have someone who wants to take out an ad, and they'll need a photograph. And so they'll send one of their photographers, the magazine will, send one of their photographers out to shoot the ad. And I do quite a bit of that, too. But in the current issue of 405 Home, I've got the cover. I've got two houses. And I've got about four ads. So that was a busy month, but it was a lot of fun, you know, and I can't kick. They're absolutely great people to work with. They really are. I'm going to send you the link to the issue of 405 Home that I've been working on.
Yeah. We'll put that in the show notes so the listeners can see it. So this is kind of unusual because, so it sounds like you're a real estate photographer shooting for a magazine as a client.
Well, but I don't shoot real estate like you guys do. You guys are shooting real estate to sell a house. I'm not trying to sell the house. I may go into a house and shoot. You don't shoot every room, okay? You don't shoot every nook and cranny. You go in, I go in with a, usually with a stylist and with one of the editors. It may be the writer that's going to write the story. It may not be. It may be just be one of the editors. And we'll go in and we'll look around the house and we'll pick out a general view of the rooms that really tickle our fancy. And then we'll pick out what we call vignettes. They're little close-ups of things, little slices of life. Like we may have just a piece of the bed and the nightstand and the table, the lamp that's on the nightstand.
Yeah, I like shooting those. Yeah,
stuff like that.
I do that sometimes for realtors or for builders.
Yeah, and that's what we do. I'm sending you guys this link via the chat here on Skype.
So,
oh my God, that was so cool! I love this new update.
I know that was cool.
Screen. That was awesome.
So what? This the link came up on the screen on Skype. That was cool.
Right.
So as far as the what was I going to say? What are they doing? What are they selling when they or what are they trying to? Are they just doing a story on the products that are in the photo or the home?
No, in this case, it's just a story about the home. Okay, it's like, or the person that owns the home.
Okay.
Could be the primary thing about the house. In this particular case, the cover is the Ross home, and this particular house, if I remember it right, is up in it's just around Robinson and just north of Robinson or somewhere in that area, Robinson and 23rd. In that general area over there, and it's an older house that's been completely remodeled from top to bottom, and it's just gorgeous. The other house in this particular issue of 4 or 5 Home is a condominium up in when I get old, my brain just goes to mush, guys. I'm so sorry. This other house is a condominium up by Penn and 63rd Street. That I'll look at it. See here in a minute.
It's okay, Don.
Anyway, this gal is an art collector. She runs a gallery in Paseo, and she's just sweet as can be. And her house is just filled with art from top to bottom. And so everywhere you look, there's art.
Yeah, I'm looking at...
Yes, Joy Reed, I think you're talking about.
Joy Reed, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a fancy house.
Right. Yeah, so in her case, the story is about her and her art collections. In the other house, the story is about the house and the remodeling process and how they went about remodeling this thing into what they wanted. And so different houses are different. You know, the story ideas, we're trying to illustrate some of that stuff with the photos. And so the photos are very different, really, than what you would do if you were trying to sell a house.
Right. These are a lot more lifestyle type stuff.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. We did one. Have you ever heard of an artist named Matt Goad?
Nope.
He's a local artist. And he's very good. He does some absolutely amazing stuff. We did his house, which is an older house. It's very 60-ish. And it's just wonderful. I mean, it's just a trip. I mean, he's got this blue green stove that just is amazing, you know, and it's just crazy stuff like that. We did one house up in Val Verde where this guy who works from home normally. And so his office is just cram packed with Star Wars memorabilia. He's got like 4 lightsabers up on the wall and they're all lit up and all the ships and all the dolls and all the toys and the room is just crammed with this stuff. So it's stuff like that. And it's like they choose this stuff. And I really don't even know where they come up with some of them sometimes, but it's been an amazing trip. It's been a lot of fun.
That sounds awesome.
I'm flipping through the magazine right now where you're talking, and I haven't seen this, holy crap. You're not going to believe that. Okay, in that edition,
the current issue?
The current issue, the face of Norwalk Furniture and Design, those two black and white images, I shot those.
Yeah. Did you?
I did.
Very good.
I did.
Very good.
They were great people, but we went through a lot of shoots in the studio.
What page? They wanted
specifically black and white. Huh?
What page?
Let's see here. Page 66 and 67 on the left-hand side.
66. I did the ones on the other side.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Looks better.
All the way up to Stillwater.
Yeah, I like that. I like that shot. They wanted something really tight, and they were specific. They're like, we want something really tight, and we want it to be in black and white.
Okay,
and
we must be looking at a different issue because that – I don't see.
You're looking at the headshots. He's looking at the headshots.
There's no Robert, headshots on here.
Yeah, it's the headshot.
Robert, it's Norwalk Furniture, page 64, or 66, 67, depending upon which page number you look at.
Oh, I'm looking at the actual page number on the print, not the viewer.
I'm looking at the little thing that goes across.
I see it now.
Right. You got to look at the thing at the bottom. Because the way Issue does this is they start page one with being the front cover.
Oh, okay.
And nobody in the world does that except the digital thing. So, but yeah, they wanted those two headshots. You shot those two headshots?
Yes. Robert? Yes. And I got to say, Cindy was a blast.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan was great. I loved Ryan. He was cute. But Cindy was a hoot to work with. I would love to get her in front of my camera again. I'm going to have to call her up when this thing is over and say, hey, I want to redo that shot.
Because you
were just a blast to work with.
Have you ever worked with Interior Gilt in design?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, I got to shoot.
I know you're not talking to me, Jim.
Well, I didn't know. I just I got to work with them on a couple houses and interior designers. Really cool. That's fun, man. And I want to do more for them. They've got a warehouse actually that used to be a store. The Interior Gilt used to be a store and they bought it or something. And now they've got this warehouse huge warehouse full of stuff, full of furniture and everything, decor. And they're actually working with local filmmakers in town to supply their props and stuff. That's pretty cool.
Wow, this is amazing. I love this. I love the work you're doing in here. This is pretty incredible. I mean, you're really got a great balance between your natural light and the incandescent light from the bulbs, like the one shot of the bed that has the nightstand and the window. I don't know if I could have done that unless I did some serious HDR planning.
It's not. It's not. I'll tell you, it's – which one are you talking about? What page are you on?
Page 36, 37. It's a double truck, says Dreams Fulfilled.
Yes. Yes. That's
I
the
know
house
you took
open.
That because it has your name on it.
Yes. I'll tell you how I do that, okay? And it's not that hard. It's one shot. The camera, it's a Nikon D810. It's set to auto white balance. And I just let the camera do its thing. And it's like the windows outside, you can see it. It's a little on the blue side. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because I didn't do a whole lot of correction on that one. Okay. I just let the camera do its thing. And in situations like this, the predominant color is the tungsten from the lamp.
Right.
And yeah.
So I just correct for that and let the outside go where it wants. Now, there's another one in here. Like, if you go to the next page and you see the dining room.
Okay, coming that way now. Oh, yeah.
Look out that window, and it is a little blue.
Yeah, it's a little blue.
But it doesn't offend me, and it's not about outdoors. It's about
Interior, you nailed it. Now, that's no flash. That's just basic ambient.
That's ambient light.
Because, I mean, right now I'm looking at that, and that is clean white. That's very clean.
Yep, that's ambient light.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
I guess I should have maybe shot auto There's no way the house I shot today, I could not have done auto white balance.
Oh, I do. I've never used artificial light in a room.
I always use auto white balance and then adjust it in post if I have to.
Yeah.
I also love the sliders, the color sliders in Lightroom because I back off the blue, black off the yellow, black off the orange. That's pretty much a standard for me. Now, here's a trick, and you probably know this, but if you don't want the blue cast coming in from the window on all the stuff, you back off the blue cast, and if there's anything in the room that's blue, just use the adjustment brush and take the saturation back and paint it over all that stuff that's blue. I do that all the time.
I've done that.
I have an easier way than that. Okay. I have a much simpler way. Yeah, you just close the freaking window.
Well, I'll tell you what. Robert, go over to, go a couple of more pages, 42, okay.
43. I'm heading that way now. This is so cool.
Okay. Oh. Now, listeners, if you're listening and you're wondering what the heck we're seeing, we will put the link in the show notes and you can go and follow along.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I already put my notes on here because I'm taking notes while we're talking, and I'm going to make sure I put this in the show notes.
All right.
And this is April. This is the spring 2020.
Right. This is the current issue of 405 Home.
Well, current being current right now, if someone's listening right now, and it's a year or two down the road,
it's April 2020.
Yeah.
April 22. I keep forgetting that you guys do this, and so I've got to be careful of that.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So it's like this one here. You know, it's almost another double truck, but it's not quite. But I've got this big expanse of windows, and I could not close those curtains. I didn't want to close those curtains. Right. I knew I was going to have a problem out there. I've been known because what I'll do is I'll take five shots and on a bracket. Five-shot bracket, two underexposed, one on the meter, one over, two over. And I'll pick the best one of those, and that's the one I'll work with. Once in a while, I'll have to combine two of them and kind of do a halfway HDR, and I hate that. But I've also been known to layer these things together and color balance one layer for one thing and color balance the other layer for the other thing and then just mask them.
Yeah, luminosity masks. I've learned a little bit about that, and it's a more time consuming way, but it's definitely a beautiful result.
It is. It works well.
Now, if you're shooting lots of real estate and you're doing volume like I do, I don't have time for all that. I send it to my editors. My editors do luminosity masking, and so.
Yeah, and it's like, that's the thing, is that because we're not shooting the whole house.
Right.
I mean, I might do one of these in 2 hours.
Right.
Okay.
The post-processing or the shoot?
The shoot.
Yeah.
The shoot is about 2 hours. The post-processing might take 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 hours. I don't know. It depends upon the house, and it depends upon how much I've screwed up. I do. You know, it's just the way it is. But you guys, when you're shooting real estate, you don't have the kind of time that I have to do this stuff. So, you know, it's
whole different ballgame.
It's a different end product. Yes. You know, the houses to be sold, they're disposable. Once the house is sold, those images are gone. No one's ever going to use those again. But a magazine, when you do the shoot and you lay it out and it goes to press, that magazine is going to be kept for a long period of time.
Yes.
So it has a much longer shelf life. And to the people who are the owners of the home, they're going to have copies of that magazine laying around their house so they can brag to their friends. And because I know I would.
I've had the owners, several of them, over the past 3 years, purchase copies of the original files.
Huh.
And, you know, it's like what you're looking at here, you're looking at... Oh, on this particular house, there's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 photos. I probably sent the magazine 20.
Yeah.
They pick the ones they want based on what they're looking at, what they want to talk about, the space they have and stuff like that. And that's the ones they use. And then the owners may contact me and say, can we purchase the photos? I'll send them the whole list of 20 shots, the whole bunch.
You know, now, Don, that brought up a really good point because, you know, our listeners and the whole thing of the editorial this month is to help people understand the differences of editorial photography.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And one of those is that editorial photography, magazine photography, if you will, your contract basically is you're being hired to go produce images. So you're paid to shoot. And then you work out a licensing agreement where they can use, they don't own the copyright. You sell them an additional license to use for printing or online or whatever, but you still retain the full copyright of the images. Yes. So you could either send it to stock or you could sell it directly to the client.
Right.
So it's a completely different thing where most people like us in the real estate, we shoot it. We still own the copyright, but it's not going to be used for anything. It, once the realtor uses it to sell, those images are gone and nobody wants them.
You're done.
Instances where, like for a builder, that's a little different because they might use it for a flyer, the realtor, but for a builder, they're going to use the heck out of those things because they, you know, they just have a lot of different marketing and stuff like that they use. But now, I was going to ask you, Don, as far as the – I got two questions. First one is, have you ever seen – or you may have an agreement, but that's what I'm going to ask. As far as when it gets printed, do you see them and go, hey, that, they edited my image? Have they ever, like, color corrected a little bit or to fit their needs for the press? Okay.
No. They're, my agreement with them is that the only thing they can do is crop.
Yeah. What if there's a little bit of, like, a bleed, like where not bleed, but like if the dots, you know, I'm assuming it's like, you know, 300 ppi or 300 dpi or something like that, and if there's a little, what do you call that, Robert, where the dots join together, what do you call that, you know what I'm talking about, the dots, the print dots,
you're not,
anyway, when they fill in, they may have to open it up a little bit so that the press doesn't, you know, fill in.
Well, yeah, because normally when you send, you know, depending on how the press, because they're printing CYMK, you're sending them an RGB unless you're doing a CYMK conversion when you send it. But when they get it, most of your magazine, well, newspapers, magazines are better. Newspapers, it'll always increase the image. It'll always increase the contrast. So when I would shoot for Stars and Stripes and stuff like that, when we would send it to those magazines for publication, we purposely, excuse me, we purposely made them a little bit flatter, knowing that the printing process was going to make it more contrasting.
Yeah, that's so kind of where I was going
Jim's
with.
Jim's asking, do you prepare your files a certain way, knowing that the printing process is going to either add or subtract a color or maybe contrast or clarity or anything like that?
No, I send them the way I want it to look. And they did have a problem with one of their printers a number of years ago, a while back, and they've changed printers, I believe. They fixed the problem, whatever. But everybody's photos were coming out very flat. Mm-hmm. And now they're coming out much better, and they seem to have fixed that problem. I remember talking to one of the art directors, and he was going, no. I asked him, I said, do I need to do something different? And he said, no. What you're sending us is exactly what we want. And the problem is on the printing end. We're trying to work with the printer, and if we have to, we'll change printers. I don't know if they did or not, but that was it.
Yeah, it's been like, what has it been, like 13, 15 years since I've done anything like that, any prints, well, for a magazine or whatever. But
not true, Jim. You did some stuff for that Home magazine. You had to cover that stuff like a year and a half ago.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But I was just thinking now I lost my train of thought. Damn it.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It happens to all
the time. I don't do anything special to them.
And you have go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Pass.
You have a contract, right? Points that out. Like says you can't do anything but crop.
My terms originally were that they can't do anything except crop, and they have abided by that. I've never seen anything. There are a couple. There's been one thing. There was one thing where when I sent them the photo, the house number was on the photo, and the art director took it out.
Yeah.
And that's something I should have done, and I didn't do, and I understand why he did it, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Stuff like that does not bother me.
Right. That's okay. That's kind of an obvious thing.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. I'm going to send you guys another link if I can.
Sure.
This is to a page on my website.
Okay.
And what it is, what I sent you was another magazine, another copy of the magazine from issue. This article on the cover is Drink Local. The cover shot Charlie Neuenschwander did.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have Charlie on soon, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's great. I mean, he did this cover shot, but I shot the article. So if you go to, and we're dealing with the numbers on issue here.
Yes.
Down in the lower left-hand corner. So if you look at page 4, you'll see a guy standing in front of a tap, right, in a bar.
Yes.
I'm getting that way. Page 4, yes. The tap
That's
wall.
That's my shot. That's my shot.
Okay.
You are not going to believe how I lit that shot.
Let me zoom in here a little bit and see if I can see what you got going on. Okay, I don't see any dramatic shadows, so I'm going to say no directional flash, but I don't see...
Window light?
Catch lights in the eyes.
It's one speed light on the hot shoe with a MagMod MagSphere.
No kidding?
No kidding.
No kidding. No kidding.
That looks really freaking good.
Is the MagSphere the one that's got the hole and it looks like solid?
It looks like a chef's hat.
Yes, yeah.
It looks like a chef's hat.
Right.
Okay. I was going to say it looked like a breast implant, but that's just me.
Yeah, right. I need to have a little nipple put on one of mine. So.
that's what I shot with that, okay?
Did you have it? Did you have it aimed anyway, or was it just pointing straight up? Yeah.
In that particular instance, I do aim them. I will move it.
Yeah.
But in this particular instance, straight up. Turn the page. You'll see a bathroom shot.
Right.
That's mine.
Hang on. I want to see the bathroom shot because I think that the difference between your editorial and our houses, you're probably not shooting the bathrooms. But now that you mentioned it, let's see this bathroom shot here.
Sometimes we just shoot bathrooms.
Okay, that's a nice bathroom.
What we don't shoot are potties.
Yeah, yes. I don't shoot them either. I used to, but everybody knows what the toilet looks like.
Yeah, we try to keep the potties out of it.
Yeah.
So now you want to go over to page 26, 27.
Listeners, this is February 2019, just in case.
Right. Right, 2019. You're going to put this in the show notes,
yes,
right?
Yes, right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have it written down.
All right. So go over to page 26, 27, which magazine page number is 24. It's the year of drinking locally. Okay, I shot this entire article. It took like 5 days, and I had to call all these people and set up times to go shoot, and you know everything else, and it was a riot. I'm not a drinker, okay? I'm a teetotaler, and I'm out shooting bars. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's all right. Fun.
So, whatever, all right? So, you can see the shot on page 26. You turn the page, there's more. And I want to tell you, the one on page 28, or 29, rather, with the two guys standing in front of the stainless... Yeah.
The stainless steel tanks?
Yes.
Oh, my God. How do you keep the glare? You know, it's just crazy.
Photoshop.
It's a straight shot.
Yeah.
And you know how I lit it? That MagSphere again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
You know?
Okay. Let me tell you how I shot these things, because I shot the Bricktown Brewery. If anybody goes in any of the Bricktown breweries,
yes,
and you see the copper pots that they have, and they have big billboards everywhere, especially the one in Tulsa. So those are actually lit. I have, and I'm going to go old school here. Okay, Don may remember this. So it was a light sphere P421 light panel. It's the stuff that Dean Collins used to hack all the time. And it's a 4x6. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
So it's those 4x6 panels that would break down. They were made out of like plastic, and you'd have the scrim to go over it.
Yeah.
So I put three of those together and then put a strobe behind it so I would get just like one big reflection on one side of it while the guys were working.
Yeah.
So, but it was an undertaking, and I was able to be in there before the place was open, and we could set these things up and shoot it.
Yeah.
So I had ample time to do that.
Well,
but man, that looks fantastic. That's just a mag mod on top of that.
Oh, it is. Yep. Just the exact same way I shot that other shot.
Well, I'm looking at it. I'm zooming in here, and you know, normally when you have on camera flash, you'll get like that telltale back shadow.
Yeah.
You know, you're out of registration back shadow, and I'm not seeing that.
Look
here.
At their legs. Look down.
Look at their legs. You can see it down there.
You can see it down there.
Oh, I got it right there. Yep.
But
I do.
What I was gonna say is my go to is like I've shot houses this way too, is to aim to the ceiling in the corner behind you. And that's a giant softbox. Now, of course, if you don't have that, you've got to figure something else out. But
yeah.
I've done that a lot for even with people, just to, like I did an office scene, just put it on a stand up in the corner. And this, I'm talking about, an AD600 with 600 watt, just so you've got a lot of oomph. But, yeah, that's cool. Robert, I was going to say on page 28, the bar scene up there at the top.
Yes.
That reminds me very much of a photo I just saw yesterday, or today, of yours.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, except
you know
that
what? I'll send that to Don privately.
Right, yeah, because that's a much better – well, I'm not saying this is a bad image, but you'll know what I'm talking about whenever you see
it. He'll understand it. We can't share that with the public yet. It'll come out soon. I did a commercial shoot Sunday with Jamie Cobb. She asked me to come out and give her a hand, and we were shooting hats and T-shirts for Seth Wadley. And they've become extremely popular now because of the Tiger King. Have you seen that yet, Don?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. So if you notice, Joe Exotic, which he changed his name to that, is actually wearing a Seth Wadley hat.
Yeah.
And they are selling lots of these hats every day worldwide.
That's
crazy. I can't get on a Zoom call and someone say, oh, I noticed you're from Oklahoma. Did you know Joe Exotic? And the problem is I have to say yes, because I did know Joe Exotic. Not like personally, like, I mean, I shook his hand. I've known him. My ex-wife was a tiger freak. We donated money to GW Park, and anytime he had baby tigers, lions, whatever, we would get a call as the VIP people go down there, and she got to play with the tigers.
Yeah, Savannah actually got to go to that on a tour to that place. I didn't know that. She went with a friend.
yeah, and yes, that's pretty good. I'll send that shot to Don. I'll send it via Messenger so he can see it. It's a screenshot from the import I was doing last night. I haven't even got to edit those yet. Okay, so let's get back to the editorial here with Don. So let's talk about your gear set. And I know that the gear doesn't necessarily make the image, because that's what you do. That's your intelligent brain pointing the camera in the right way. But we've asked the other editorial photographers to kind of give us a breakdown on, like, what's your main bag? I mean, myself, when I've gone on location, I pack my car with everything.
Yeah, the first couple of three or four shoots I went on for the magazine, I literally packed everything I owned for the most part. I have two Nikon D810 bodies with grips. I take both of those. I take three lenses. I take a 14-24 f2.8 zoom, 24-70 f2.8 zoom, and a 70-200 f2.8 zoom. I did one shoot where I actually took my 500 PF with me. I take three SB810 speed lights. I have a Nikon SU800 trigger for those speed lights. It's an optical trigger, but it works really well. I'll take two light stands, 2 5-foot umbrellas. Once in a while, I'll throw in a 24 by 24 softbox. And you know, for the most part, that's it.
I think that's a pretty good kit right there. I think I could shoot just about anything I needed, especially if you're bringing the 500. I can hit anything with that.
Yeah. The thing I used the 500 for was they had me go shoot a couple of pictures of Cody Lorendi, who's the goalie for the Energy. And we shot during a practice, and they wanted some action shots. And so I was out on the field with the 70-200 for most of the action shots. But then that was just the goalies working with one of the coaches. And those were the primary action shots I got. But then I shot some other action shots of him and the rest of the team kind of playing, and I couldn't be on the field for that. So I used the 500 for that. But that's the only thing I've used the 500 for so far. But yeah, that kit has really done it for me. It's done it very well. And it's really worked quite well over the past 3 years, and I really wouldn't change it for much of anything.
Wow. So what kind of challenges have you now you've been doing 405 magazine for 3 years. Right. Now, you said a friend of a friend of a friend. Did James Pratt somehow get involved in this?
No, he got involved in it only to the extent that when I first started with all of this, and to a great extent even now, I have no earthly idea what I'm doing, especially on the business end of it. Okay.
Right.
I mean, the photography end, I really personally believe that a good photographer, not that I'm a good photographer, but a good photographer should be able to walk into virtually any situation and walk away with a decent photograph at least, you know?
Right.
So, you know, but I had no experience with magazines, none, zip. Nothing. I had never done anything like that before. And James has. James got a lot of experience at it. And so when it came time for me to talk to someone and ask some questions about, you know, how do I deal with this situation? Who do I talk to about this? What do I do about that? James was my go-to guy, and he was very forthcoming with all the advice anybody could ask for, and he was always dead on the money with it. He's absolutely right about all of it.
He's very knowledgeable in this field, for sure.
He's very, very, very smart, and he really knows what he's talking about. And I'm very grateful for his friendship and his advice and his knowledge. It just really helps me a lot.
Yes, and you're, at least in your Instagram, when I follow you, you're more known for dancers.
Well, yeah, I shot a lot of dancers. I don't so much anymore because when I was shooting the dancers, I had access to dance college-age dancers because I taught at OCU, and most of my students were from the dance school, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how I pulled all that off. But I retired from that 5 years ago, and so I don't know anybody anymore. So, plus, I don't have access to the dance studio I was shooting in. I had a friend who owned a dance studio here in the city, and she would let me go into her studio whenever she wasn't having classes. That meant Sundays, holidays, evenings. If she wasn't having classes, I could be in there shooting. She even gave me a key to the place. And then she had the audacity to sell it. But yeah, it's, you know, dancers were a lot of fun, but, and they were good kids. They're great, great, great people. And they were good students. So
yeah, we're definitely going to have the listeners follow your Instagram because your dance photos, I'm just like, how did he get the apex of that shot? The aiming is impeccable.
Yeah, well, now you see, that's another question that comes up, and it needs to be addressed. It really does. Do you guys remember when Dave Black came to Photocon a couple of years ago?
Absolutely.
Dave Black?
Dave Black.
I was thinking of David
Nikon
Hobby.
Ambassador. No, Dave Black, Nikon Ambassador.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was our last, I think it was the last year they had PhotoCon up in the Tower Hotel.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago, and he has that same profile photo he's had for like almost 7 years.
Yes. Okay. So I'm sitting in his class, and he's lighting this ballet dancer they got from Oklahoma Ballet with speed lights. And somebody says, this gal in the back asked this question, can you shoot that thing in high speed mode, meaning frames per second, okay? And he said, yeah, you can get about six shots out of it. And he demonstrates it, and the thing goes pop, 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 right?
Right.
And immediately, I know immediately what she wants to do. What she wants to do is shoot dancers.
Yes.
Okay? You can't do that. You'll never, never get it right.
Explain.
All right. A number of years ago, I was hanging around a website called sportsshooters.com.
They're still in business. They're still going.
Still in business, yes. And if you start talking to the guys who shoot professional baseball, and I'm talking about the New York Yankees, the LA Dodgers, and so on and so forth, that level of professional baseball. The guys who shoot that all the time, the team photographers, will tell you that if you want the quintessential baseball photo where the ball is on the bat,
yep,
right? One shot. They say if you motor drive that thing, if you spray and pray, you will never get it. They say you've got to learn to time it.
I believe that 100%.
It is absolutely true. I tried it. I watched that thread. I took part in that thread on that thing. This is like 10 years ago. And I went out to Bricktown Ballpark with my camera, and I sat there, and I aimed at that batter, and I learned to do it. And about the 8th or 10th shot, I finally got the ball on the bat. Okay?
That's cool.
It's the exact same thing. It's the exact same. You ask them to show you what they're going to do. They'll demonstrate it for you, and then you say, do it. Now, I don't get it the first time every time. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'll nail it the first time. Sometimes I don't. I have to ask them to do it again. About the 10th time you ask them to do it again, they're ready to kill you.
Yeah.
But you cannot, especially with studio strobes. I mean, these are old studio strobes. They're old Novatrons.
Right.
You cannot motor drive that stuff.
No.
I tried once and burned the power pack. It's one shot, and that's the key, is you've got to learn. I had a friend who is a dancer and a photographer come in there with me one day, and she picked her camera up and went click and nailed it the first time. Click, nailed it again. Click, nailed it again. Click, nailed. Never had to say do it again, because the dancer, she knew exactly what that move was. She knew exactly supposed to look like. She knew exactly when to hit that shutter release.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all, because that's true. I mean, I love action shots. I've done, played around with, the kids, and made them do the action shots when I shot a lot of seniors. I always make my seniors jump and do crazy stuff. And you're right. It's all about the timing. Even with the dogs, when I shoot the dogs, it's all about the timing, man. You've got to get, right on that trigger and boom. And, it's exciting when you see the shot. You go, oh, we got it.
And to me, it's much more satisfying that way.
Yeah.
Thing with motor drive is mathematically your chances are less. And I've told lots of photographers about this, but I'll explain it again here. So let's say you're shooting, for example, the batter hitting. So the batter's getting ready to hit the ball. And you decide that I need to have a thousandth of a second to stop the motion. I'm just pulling that just for a nice number to have.
Right. Okay? Yep.
So you have your camera set for a thousandth of a second. And let's say that your camera can shoot 10 frames in 1 second. So 10 frames per second, FPS. So you fire that 10 frames per second at 1,000th of a second per frame. So you've captured you've captured 10 over 1,000 of a second.
Yeah.
You've missed 990th of a second. You've missed the majority of the action.
Yep.
So the timing and that skill set that cannot, I mean, I guess you can teach it, but it's more intuitive. It's you sitting there and knowing the sport, being involved in what's going on, and understanding the timing and I guess being ahead of action. When I started shooting sports, and people will laugh, Jim knows this, I don't know anything about sports. I suck at sports. I'm horrible. But I love to photograph it. I've photographed NFL. I photographed the opening games of the Rockies just because I happened to be there going through a PJ school in Denver. You know, I've had an opportunity to shoot major events. And, oh, my God, I have no idea where I was going with the story now. I just completely
You have shot some major events.
Yes, but it's all about understanding the play.
Yeah.
If you don't understand what's going on, if you just follow the ball, you will miss.
Yeah.
Like, you need to know that, okay, the run, I want a shot of the guy catching the ball, where you can't be aiming at the quarterback when he's throwing the pass.
Yeah.
You got to know which one is his favorite receiver and track him coming down the line and wait for that ball to get there. And my editor told me, when you're shooting sports, you will never see if you got the shot until you develop it. Because I was shooting film. Because at the moment of capture, the mirror is up and you're blacked out.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. If you see it, I've heard that a million times. If you see it in the viewfinder, you missed it.
Yeah. You missed it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, this is like crazy.
So let's back up a little bit. So, you know, you've got these cameras that everybody's like, oh, my God, it shoots 1,000 frames per second or whatever. You know, I want the camera that's going to shoot that many. Okay. I'm asking you to explain this because I've heard lots of, you know, different I don't know where I've been. I've heard them, you know, they're just going shooting all those frames, and they're pros.
Yeah.
So are they just spraying and praying? What's the reason for the frames per second to be so fast if that's the case? I'm not just playing devil's advocate. Okay.
I understand. My D810s, if I set them up exactly right, I can get 7 frames a second out of it. I have to shoot in crop mode to do that, and I don't. So the most I can get is 6. 11 frames a second is simply an attempt to fill in the gaps in that 6, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
The idea is that the more you jack up those frames per second, the more likely you are to get it.
Right, you're increasing your odds a little bit.
Right.
You're increasing your odds. Now, if you really want to increase your odds and really come close to getting it, shoot video.
Right.
That's 4 frames a second. Or shoot high-speed video at 60 frames a second, which is actually slow-mo. That will give you a better chance of getting it. But your image quality is going to tank, and you know what? You still might not get it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, here's a good analogy. I just thought of this. You're talking about increasing your chances. Well, just like if you go every Saturday, every single or even every day to the tall grass prairie and you try to get the shot of the buffalo, Ken, you just might get the shot. If you go every day, you just might get the shot instead of going once a month, you know? Same thing. That just made me think of that.
Yes, he's thinking of Ken Martin, which is a friend of ours, and we had him on the show when we were in Arkansas, didn't we?
Yes.
We need to get him back on again because we have to talk about wildlife photography one of these months.
Right.
Okay, well, we're getting close to the hour mark here with all this good conversation. So before we drop off here, Don, let's go back to the editorial a little bit as you transitioned to this 3 years ago with the 4 or 5 magazine. So what kind of tips or what things did you have to overcome when you switched directions to do this? Did you find some things that, God, I wish I would have known beforehand that maybe the new listeners are new, our listeners that are new to the industry, you know, because they're looking at a magazine photographer like, oh, my God, I want to do that. I want to have my pictures published. Is there anything that you can give them advice or something to watch out for or something to do now to better prepare them for that transition?
Find a mentor. Find somebody who's been doing it and talk to them.
Can we put your phone number on the podcast? I'm just kidding.
Well, we're going to put all his other social media links in there so they can find him.
Yeah.
They'll find me. They'll find me. And I don't mind talking about it. James, like I said earlier, James was a godsend. He really was. And he's forgotten more about editorial photography than I'll ever know. Overcome your fear. You know, my first shoot with them, and I'll tell you what my first shoot was. My first shoot with them was to shoot a house that belonged to a guy named Nick Collison.
Okay.
Name ring a bell?
No.
No.
No?
No.
You guys don't play basketball, do you?
Oh, not at all.
Did you hear the part where I don't know anything about sports?
Yeah.
I suck at sports.
From the Thunder. Oh, from the Thunder.
Okay.
Okay. He was the guy whose jersey they retired last year.
Oh, sure, yeah, okay. That guy.
No. We went to shoot his house, and the vast majority of times when we shoot a house, we shoot a portrait. So I'm standing here shooting a portrait of Nick Collison, okay? It made the cover of the magazine.
Ooh.
Ooh, nice.
And he's twice your size. Did you stand on a ladder?
I shot up.
You shot up? No.
Shot up at him. No. It's you know, my first shoot for the magazine.
Wow.
And I get a cover out of it. Blew my mind. But the thing is that if you go into it scared you're going to blow it, you'll blow it. On the other hand, if you go into one of these shoots thinking, hey, I got this, you don't got it.
Yeah.
You know, you can never walk in because they're all different.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to send you guys a link to my tear sheet page. It's virtually every photograph I've ever shot for the magazine. Screenshots taken from this issue thing where I just take the screenshot of the pages that appear in the magazine. And you'll see that it is a huge variety of stuff. It's not just houses. It's not just portraits. It's product shots. It's people. It's sports. It's nuts. It's crazy.
It's a little bit of everything.
It is literally a little bit of everything. When I go out on a job for these guys, I am using absolutely everything I've ever learned about photography somehow, some way. Do I always come back with a work of art? No. I don't always come back with a work of art. Some are better than others. Some are not so hot. But the point is that when you go into it, you've got to understand that you have got to think about what you're doing. You cannot put it on autopilot ever. And just do it. Just do the best you can. And if they don't like it, they won't hire you again.
That's true.
Just that simple, guys.
I know how that feels. I do.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That that might be the title of the episode. Screw up and don't get hired again. With Don.
Well, fortunately,
go ahead.
Fortunately, they keep hiring me. So.
Well, you must be doing something right then.
I guess. I don't know.
Oh, I think so. I think you are. Well, Don, right. Thank you so much for being on the episode today.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. We really appreciate it. We'll make sure we get all these notes in the show notes, and we'll have episode up hopefully later on tonight.
All right. Sounds good. Make sure you send me a link to it so I can find it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll shoot you a link on Facebook Messenger, which seems to be the way he loves to communicate, just FYI.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, you seem to respond really quickly when I get on Facebook Messenger.
Okay,
yeah,
so
because it must be coronavirus on the microphone or something.
So our next episode is still editorial.
Next episode is editorial, and we're going to have a New York fashion photographer and editor of Alice Magazine, Melissa Robwell.
All right, awesome. Stay tuned for that, and thanks a lot. And we will see you next time. All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
This podcast was recorded on the Rodecaster Pro, the world's first fully integrated podcast production console. With 4 mic channels, 8 sound pads for triggering effects and music, the ability to bring in phone and Skype calls, and powerful onboard audio processing. It's the perfect solution whether you're just getting into podcasting or you're a seasoned pro.
Hey, thanks for listening. You can find Jim at jimfelder.com and Robert at treywickimages.com. Send us an email at twins@photofaxpodcast.com or voicemail at 405-585-6337.
Check out our YouTube PhotoFax channel for weekly tips and tricks. Visit our Facebook page for news and discussion. Please help others find this podcast by reviewing us on iTunes. We really appreciate your support.